Hello, we are Karin and Kylie, and this is Opes and Dreams, a podcast about life's humbling moments, how we are able to live through and beyond them to achieve our goals and dreams.
Each episode, we'll talk about an ope, what led up to it, why was it so funny, and how it was a valuable lesson for growth.
We are both sober living advocates, Midwest originals, and eager to share our stories with you.
So join us as we laugh, cry, and chat about the hilarious complexities of humans. Here we go.
Hi, welcome back to Opes and Dreams. Karin and I would like to start off by thanking everyone who liked, listened, and subscribed this past week.
If you haven't yet, go ahead and follow us on the socials and find us on your favorite streaming platforms for podcasts. Speaking of streaming platforms, soon you'll be able to see our faces with the audio on YouTube. So keep listening and get ready to watch the ridiculousness as well.
Because we are so pretty and you want to see our faces.
We are. And so right now we currently just have like a little audio video on there. But soon we'll be, you know, YouTubing and recording once we get all of that set up. And yeah.
Yeah. So. YouTube Daddy will be happy to have us.
Yes. I don't know who that is and I don't want to ever find out. Thank you very much.
All right, so I wanted to personally thank everyone who reached out after last week's episode to send their sweet, sweet sympathies for my poor little child who allegedly was punched in the face. Apparently, he made the whole thing up.
Oh, yeesh.
Yeah, so he didn't know where it came from, and he just, that's the first thing that came to his mind, was that another kid had punched him, so.
So did he punch himself?
No, it probably came from when he was at his cousin's house, roughhousing.
Was it a swan?
Everybody's swan, nightmare.
did a swan just come and attack him, just like Jess?
Oh, God. Yeah, so how's that for humbling moments?
Right.
I did make him tell the kid what he said, and I made him apologize. The kid was kind of annoyed that he took him away from whatever game he was playing to apologize.
As he should be.
Right. So, it's all good. Parenting is a wild and always challenging ride, but I'm here for it.
Yes. I can imagine. I am. That's just like reason 900 bajillion that I am happy that I don't have to deal with that kind of thing on a daily basis. Because I can't imagine what you parents have to go through with just things like that are completely beyond your control when you're like not around them, you can't see them, you don't know what they're doing, and like, you know, you only hope that what you say to them is absorbed and carried out into their like everyday life.
Absolutely. Like, I've always said my words today are his thoughts tomorrow, so everything we tell him sticks with him in some way or another. And I always say we have the gift of perspective. You have to see a situation from multiple angles from all of the people that are involved so that, A, you're not an asshole about it, which I'm grateful that I wasn't, because that would have come back negatively.
Right. So right. If you would have just started, like, yelling at him, like, what is that really showing him?
Nothing.
Like, you know, I got... the privilege of witnessing their before school routine this morning. I came here early. Like, I was actually sleeping outside in the street the whole entire night waiting for them to wake
up. She wanted to turn the space heater on in here to warm it up first.
Yeah, it was a little cold in here last time, so, you know, we're just adjusting. But if we have the space heater on, it's just going to be like at you the whole entire time.
It's not cute.
It's not cute. So I was really happy to see just the little pep talks and see him, you know, allegedly absorb the information that you were telling us, whether or not he lets that stick the rest of the day. But, like, really all you can do is just, you know, hope for the best, I suppose, in that situation. So.
And with kids that age, it's nice to, that's why I do the little mantras, small phrases and words. What are you going to be today? Good, kind, patient, respectful, and that's it. Keep it simple, keep it short, and it repeats in their head automatically.
Right.
Yeah.
So, what else happened this week?
Well, it was Valentine's Day.
Love Day! Not only was it Valentine's Day, But more importantly, it was me and my sweet BB's 3-year anniversary.
I can't believe it's only been 3 years.
I know, it feels like it's been absolutely forever.
You guys should have just been together always.
I feel like we have, but it doesn't, you know, like, it's just a really weird thing. So, yeah. Did you do anything for Valentine's Day?
Yeah, we went out to dinner at the Blind Shot Social Club.
Okay.
It's a great restaurant on Fair Oaks Avenue in front of Garver Feed Mill. My husband, Alex, and I, shout out to Alex Parsons, AP, the Parsons, if you know, you know.
Lord, that's enough.
I know, right? because we're both sober, it's hard to find restaurants that cater to sobriety. Mm-hmm. They have a whole menu of mocktails that are delicious and flavorful and really kind of give you that satisfaction of having a drink with dinner. We had Grandma and Grandpa with us, too.
That's nice.
Which was really nice, but it was super snowy.
Yeah, it was. It was like a blizzard, and because of that, I also work at a restaurant in that neighborhood, actually,
yeah.
Called Alchemy Cafe. I've been there, it would be 7 years this year.
Wow.
And we were actually really, really slow, but the snowstorm, I think, is really what held people back.
For sure.
Can't do anything about the weather. We are lucky enough to get, like, a lot of people that locally walk around that neighborhood and will still come in. So we had like our favorite regulars. So it was like, you know, a great place to be on Valentine's Day.
Yeah, nice and cozy.
Nice and cozy. It's really cute in there, so.
It is.
What else did we do? I feel like
we watched some things.
Yeah, we did watch some things.
We watched some Netflix, because that's all we do when we're at home.
I mean, I do that all the time. That's pretty much all I do anyway. I mean, if at home, I've got the Netflix on. So Apple Cider Vinegar.
Yeah.
That was a show that we both watched. And yeah.
It was interesting.
That's a lot to unpack there.
Can't believe that's a true story.
I know. I don't know, like, how much truth is to it. Was it, like, she's still, like, out there doing her thing.
She's only 33. She's younger than me.
I mean.
That's bonkers.
It is crazy to me. It's so weird. I mean, if you haven't seen Apple Cider Vinegar, we don't want to, like, spoiler alert any of this for you, but the premise is basically that this girl just fakes cancer, and she's, like, out doing these blogs, and, you know,
she's pretending to cure her cancer with healthy eating, which you can't do. Go see an oncologist, please.
Yeah, I mean, I do subscribe to, like, holistic, you know, things, but for certain things, not so much for cancer or things like that. I think that that's a point where you need to, like, believe in science a little bit and trust your doctors. And I mean, there was another girl in the movie that was a little bit more into it. She goes to some center down in Mexico, and she just goes on this like hardcore juice diet. And she does, like, coffee, enemas.
Yeah.
Enemas?
She's boofing coffee.
And I don't know. I'm just going to go ahead and think that that's not the best idea for you.
Probably not. We're not doctors. We can't recommend anything.
Don't really listen to us, but
pretty sure coffee enemas don't cure cancer.
And then there's another show.
Don't come after me.
Scamanda. That's on Netflix.
Ooh, I don't know that one.
Completely unrelated.
Okay.
But it's another girl who fakes cancer. Ugh. And she gets all of this money donated to her through all of these, like, it's like a 4-part series on Netflix. Again, don't want to give away any of that. Spoiler for people that love watching these kinds of shows like us. But yeah, she goes and, like, she creates all of these, like, fundraisers for herself. And she has this, like, online setup that she's very much a part of this church. And there's, like, a part in the show where they're showing her standing on the stage, and there's, like, smoke in the background, and the people are just, like, throwing money at her feet, and she's, like, the princess of this church, and just scamming all of these people.
Why
just,
is that a trending topic?
I know right now.
To lie and fake things.
I mean, it's just, like, I feel like it's just pretty bad energy out there. It's just, like, now we're talking about, like, you gotta have something wrong with you to, like,
something
fake
seriously wrong with you, yeah.
Like, you just need you weren't hugged enough as a child.
Who hurt you?
Like, who hurt you enough to think that you need to sit out there and just be, like, getting money from all of these people? Like,
it's disgusting.
Good job.
Right?
She, like, went really far with this and, like, would go to the hospital and, like, there's pictures of her with, like, ports and all kinds of stuff.
God.
So just the level that she went to make this. She had like a long blog. I don't know if it's still up. I should have researched and checked this out because I was really curious about
research smishmerch.
Yeah, no kidding. But yeah, so that was
wild.
That was a some of the highlights of my Love Is Blind is back. I don't know if anybody out there watches that.
No,
I got about two episodes in of that.
It's
one.
Too much trash TV.
It's in
for
Minneapolis
me.
This time.
Oh really?
Mm-hmm. Hmm. So there's been like on TikTok. There's been like a lot of people going on and like complaining about one of the guys that's on there already.
Uh-oh.
Like, apparently just being, you know.
Is he yucky?
Apparently. I don't know. I didn't like really look too much. I didn't want to spoiler alert any of it for myself for the show. So.
Fair enough.
Yeah. And White Lotus is back.
That's right. I got an email. I was like, it appeared as an invite to the hotel where the season is taking place.
What I wouldn't give. It's in Thailand.
Thailand, that's right.
Yeah, it looks amazing. I only got about halfway in because we were up later last night doing our rundown meeting, which we're doing now, video chatting on Sunday nights to get ready and to prepare ourselves a little better for you folks out there that have to sit through listening to us.
Because organization is nice.
It's okay. It's okay. I'm more of a, like, just go with it and see what happens. And she's out here with, like, printed papers for us right now, which there is room for both of those things. And it seems to be flowing well for us.
We complement each other very well.
We sure do.
It's working great.
So, anything else?
Well, the other thing that I watched was on Apple TV. It was called The Gorge.
Okay.
And I only want to talk about it because Miles Teller is one of my most favorite actors. He's a younger guy, but he did... The movie that I remember him from before this...
Footloose?
No. Did he do the new Footloose?
Yeah.
Oh, sweet. Mm-hmm. The other one was with Jonah Hill, where they sold guns to the U.S. government. They were just like two bros, and they somehow acquired all of these guns and ammo and were selling it to the U.S. government. It was based on a true story. It's a fascinating movie. But The Gorge is him and Anya Joy-Taylor, who was in The Queen's Gambit.
Yep, love her.
And so I'm not going to spoil anything, but they are both snipers, and they are placed in these opposing towers on either side of a gorge. And the reason makes itself known in the movie, and I liked it a lot. It was really good. It was an interesting story. I looked up who wrote and directed it while I was watching it because some of the special effects and the ideas that they came up with for the things I thought was really cool.
Okay.
So, go watch The Gorge on Apple TV.
Yeah, I'll have to check it out when I run out of all of these other things. I just got HBO Max.
Ooh.
So I have, because for White Lotus, I needed it.
Oh,
so
sure.
So now I have this whole thing opened up of shows I had for a while and then stopped watching. House of Dragon only has, like, 10 days left before they take it off of there. So
I've
I need to watch that
because I didn't watch the second season.
I got like almost to the end of the first, but I love me some dragons. That's one thing. If you follow me on social media, on my personal social medias, I post about dragons on an almost daily basis. I'm obsessed with them. I think it's not fair that humans can't bond dragons. I could go on and on about this. It hurts my soul that I can't have a dragon just in my backyard, ready to ride up into the air with me to breathe fire on all of the people that piss me off every day. That is all we're going to say about that right now because I will cry.
Well,
I want one so bad.
One thing, did you know that they made a live action How to Train Your Dragon that's coming out soon?
I did.
It's pretty awesome.
I'm ready.
We went to go see a movie, I think it was the Sonic movie, and the trailer came up, and it looks awesome. I'm super excited. We'll all go see it when
it comes
out.
Yeah, we should do that.
Yeah.
Because I saw that they're making, like, a How to Train Your Dragon 2, but the live-action thing sounds really amazing. But I don't think it's going to help my case here.
No, it'll probably make it worse.
I think it's going to further just, like, really, you know, upset me. Like, I follow all of these, like, I mean, ridiculous AI... pages on Instagram.
She does.
Of these little...
She'll send me stuff all the time.
Dragons people create. I'm like, why do I not have a fluffy yellow dragon sleeping at the foot? I do, actually. I do have a fluffy yellow dragon sleeping at the foot. Her name is Susie Greenberg. Anyway, moving on.
All right.
This is not the topic of this episode. But do you know what is the topic of this episode?
Yes.
Are we there yet, or do you want to still recap a little bit?
No, we can dive in.
All right, let's dive in.
So let's dive into sobriety.
Let's do that. So we did mention last time that we weren't going to make our sobriety a focal point of the podcast. Mm-hmm. However, we figured let's just get this part over with right away.
Yeah.
Let's just get it out of the way. Let's talk about it. Let's, you
know. It's background. It's context for who we are now.
It's a big deal. Yeah. And we might as well just get right into it right away.
Great.
Which is, you know, this could be trigger warning for some people about some of the topics that come up with sharing our stories. It could just be triggering for those who are struggling with alcohol themselves or with being sober curious even and having a hard time navigating that. So mm-hmm. just kind of a little warning about that if you don't want to hear about this or you've heard too much about us talk about it or me. I mean, I don't know. Keep listening, but maybe like skip ahead or something.
Sure.
I don't know what to tell you.
So, Karin, why and when did you stop drinking?
So I stopped drinking March 8th, 2020, right before the shutdown for the pandemic.
It's a great time to stop vice.
It was not planned. it's something I tried to quit drinking off and on for about 12 years. I was constantly one of those people doing like dry January and sober October and really just like grabbing onto any break I could take. But at the same time, my drinking controlled me more than I controlled it, which was a big reason why I needed to stop. But I grew up in a setting, I'm from a tourist town that had a big water ski attraction that I grew up at. So from my younger years, I was always around these like older, cool skiers that were partying every night. And we actually like lived on property. So for a period of time, when we moved in with my stepdad, we lived at the trailer that was right next to the party trailer.
Which you'd think would be an awesome way to grow
up. Not when you're eight.
Right.
But I was a child. So yeah. Again, it wasn't cool there, at that time. So I grew up seeing this like very binge drinking party atmosphere around me.
Right.
And as I started getting a little older and more impressionable, 10, 11, that's all I wanted to do. I wanted to be just like these people. I wanted to hang out with them. I wanted to be cool. I wanted to be seen by them. So I really early on started like fantasizing alcohol and, you know, just like wanting to be cool and wanting to do it. So my friends and I would, you know, experiment with drinking when we were really too young. I remember we had a pool in our backyard. And my parents had this like camper parked next to it. Mm-hmm. And we would like sneak a beer out of their coolers when the adults were inside. And we would just drink the beer. If our parents, I think I was like 11 the first time I tried vodka.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was really, really young.
That is young.
Like, we didn't drink like the whole cup or anything like that. We just took sips and thought we were cool. But like, I remember like 15 is when it really started like drinking more often.
Yep.
And then it went
high school parties.
I actually didn't do a lot of high school parties, honestly. My friends and I would get together and do movie parties. So there was a period of time in high school where I actually didn't drink a lot. It was only in the summers. Like, during school, I absolutely didn't. It was when all of the people from this attraction came back.
When the party came to town. Right.
Then it was like, okay, now we're back in this. But that was like every summer for me. And then the drinking really hit when I was like 18, 19, 20. You know, and into my 20s.
Right.
For me, it was the normal, you know. I think the town that I grew up in really exaggerated drinking more so. It was a tourist town, so people were there to party in the summer. And I feel like it was normal. I feel like it was. I look back at it now, and I'm like, no, that was excessive. But in Wisconsin, we don't have a line between normal and excessive.
It's pretty blurry.
We don't see that here.
Yeah.
But towards the end of my 30s, I would say in my 30s is when it probably got the worst for me mental health-wise.
Mm.
So it went from just being this thing that everybody does, normal, to really impacting my mental and physical health. I, you know, could start to see the physical effects of alcohol on my body. I was large. I was bloating. My skin was dull, my hair was dying, it was just all kinds of things, and I was, you know, just gaining weight and just ugh. And then on top of that, I mean, my mental health was really taking a toll. I started being very depressed. There was a point at the end where I was drinking by myself every night. At work, I'd sit and have drinks regardless of who was coming to meet up with me,
yeah.
what was going on that night. I would just sit there and I'd cry every night. I was very, very, very depressed. Going in and out of, like, shitty relationships with people. And just, like, my self-esteem just really taking a dive to the point of, you know, having thoughts of taking my own life more Aww. Often than not, almost an everyday thing.
I hate that.
So there was a point where I was like, okay, well, you know, I either continue this, I'm going to die, or I need to stop.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I don't know if some people might not believe in, like, these divine timings or divine interventions or things like that, but
sure.
I remember being at home this particular night, very depressed, very sad, just feeling empty and hollow inside, and just something happened and clicked, and I was like, I'm never drinking again. And I woke up that day feeling just shitty and hungover, as we tend to do. The anxiety is there.
Mm.
And I remember walking down to my friend's shop. She had a shake shop in the neighborhood, and being like, I'm never drinking again. And she's like, okay, whatever. How many times sure people said that after they're done drinking? But that was it. I have never had a sip of alcohol on purpose
mm-hmm.
Since then. So that was that for me. And the first year or two was a lot. I mean, it was really learning. Once you quit, the work isn't done, and work is just beginning.
Yeah.
It's just Fresh. Getting started. And there's so much that goes into that of just navigating that. But I will say I had one huge advantage when I quit drinking is I was a social drinker, meaning I never drank at home by myself. I would drink out at the bars by myself because I was hoping that there would be somebody that I would end up getting to hang out with.
Right.
But the fact that I quit during the pandemic really created a solid base for me. Because I couldn't go out and socialize and drink.
Right.
I didn't have that temptation to go out to the bar and see what was going on and who was out. I had to stay home for 3 months.
Yeah.
And that's a really important... The first 3 months are really, really important for, like, just getting that pattern down and that foundation.
The new habit.
So that was a blessing for me. Yay. So I, you know, there a lot of people had a hard time with the pandemic, and it was a really hard and scary time for everyone. But for me, it was... changed my life for the better. So yep. That's my little journey there.
I love
that.
It.
How about you? I don't think we've ever really talked too much about.
Yeah.
A little bit here and there, but.
A little bit. My story's a little different. I'm not as quote unquote loud about my sobriety because it's just kind of, it became normal for me really easily. I quit drinking October 1st of 2017. My last drink was at John and Teresa Hardy's wedding out at Driftless Music Gardens.
Mm-hmm.
I had decided to quit drinking before that, but that was sort of my last hoorah. It was free. We were out there for the weekend. It was a good time. It was sort of my send-off to drinking.
But also their wedding.
Also their wedding. The send-off was the bonus. That was an amazing wedding. One of my favorites out at DMG. It was a beautiful, beautiful weekend. Shout out to John and T. We love you guys so much.
Yeah, we love you. And that was a great wedding. It was so beautiful.
It was. Yeah. My sort of epiphany moment came sometime in between 2016 and the fall of 2017. My husband and I drank to get drunk. We didn't drink to just enjoy the beverage. It was, the purpose of it was to get fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
And I drank beer a lot. And then I got curious about what it would be like to be sober because I knew we wanted to have a child. And you can't drink while you're pregnant. You cannot drink alcohol while you are pregnant. Anyway. I wanted to see what it was like. I wanted to see what my life would be like as it was sober. So I did a month in February, and I kept track of every time we went out. I estimated how much money I would have spent. And I saved about $400 in that month of February. And I was like, okay, I can do this. I still went out to shows. I still went to the bar, still hung out with friends. And it was a good experience. After that, I started drinking again, but I started drinking vodka and whiskey instead of beer. So instead of drinking to just get drunk, I was drinking to fully black out. And I would stop remembering how we got home at night, which is not safe. It kind of got scary. And since I knew that I wanted to have a kid, I've always been the kind of person where I've got a five-year plan. At the time that I met Alex, my five-year plan was to get married and have a kid. When we first started hanging out, I told him about that. About 3 months into us hanging out, I was like, look, this is what I want to do. I want to get married. I want to have a kid. I want to do this part of life. If you're into it, let's keep going. If you're not into it, maybe we should stop hanging out. And he was fully on board. We moved in together after 6 months of dating. So it happened fast. But without bringing attention to people that don't need attention brought to them, I'll just say I saw friends stay up all night until their kids woke up. When I saw that was it for me. I was like, no way. My dream was to be the best parent that I possibly could be for this kid. So that's what I did. That is why I did it. I didn't want to be a hungover parent. That's the hugest motivation. The second biggest motivation was to set an example for Alex. I wanted him to quit drinking too. And he needed to. We both needed to. We were part of a group called Operation Shit Show. And that's exactly what it was. It was just a complete shit show all the time. So it was kind of like, okay, it's time to grow up. It's time to be responsible, set the foundation for the life that we want to have. The life that we have now is awesome. We have this lovely house. We have our nice cars. We have our good jobs. And we have this amazing six-year-old who gets 1,000% of our attention every single day. I often say, I'm fine being tired. I can be tired any day. I never have to be hungover.
Right.
Oh God, never feeling hungover from alcohol again is one of the greatest parts of it.
It's a blessing every single day.
Yes.
To wake up and be like, I don't feel like garbage. I can get up at 6 a.m.
Yeah.
I can have my cup of tea or my cup of coffee. And every single day I wake up and I am just reminding myself of how blessed I am that I chose that path.
This is why I do it.
Because it's a choice. It's an every single day choice that you make for yourself and for the people around you.
Yep.
And it's just, you know, it's really hard, especially being as involved in like the music scene as we are, and having to be in environments where naturally people are drinking more, they're doing whatever their recreational choice is, and just having to see... You know, for me, it's really hard to see people that I love and care about that are, like, older than I am, that are still making these choices for themselves to be destructive and unhealthy, and seeing them struggle and wanting so bad to be sober, because I don't know how many times I've had people come to me like, oh my gosh, how do you do it? I wish I could do that. I wish I could do that. And that's really hard for me because I'm like...
It's a mindset. Like,
it's such a hard thing to do and to just see people want it so badly.
Yeah.
But I've said to people... over and over again, that if I could give one gift to anybody in the world, everybody that I love and care about, it would just be the feeling of being sober, like, after the work is done, or the work is never done, but after everybody kind of reaches this, like, aha, after a long-term sobriety, where you just, everything feels better,
you're
so happy, it sticks, it's good, it's just good, and great things just happen to you. And I just wish I could give everybody that, like, feeling for just a day to know what that feels like, because I just don't think there would be alcohol abuse or even alcohol left in the world if people understood what that felt like, because it's a problem.
It is.
It is a problem, regardless of if people want to admit it or not. It's a problem in our society in so many ways.
And there's lots of different types of alcoholics. This was something that I realized shortly before I quit. Just because if you get super drunk all the time, yeah, you're probably an alcoholic. Right. But also, if you have to have one glass of wine every single day after work, you're an alcoholic.
Right.
That's a level of alcoholism that some people may not want to hear, and I'm sorry, but that's what it is.
I mean, there's so many different kinds of, not even alcoholism. You can't even really call it that all of the time, because there are high-achieving people that still get up every day. They still go to work. They're making lots of money. They're providing for their family.
Yeah, but they're doing great.
They still can't not have that couple of beers every night when they get home or go on the weekends. Like, they can't go to an event, or they can't do anything without having to have alcohol involved.
It's too attached.
And that's a problem.
Yeah.
Because we have many other beverage options that we can reach for. You can reach for sparkling water. There's, you know, all kinds of things. I think that, like, good NA beers and mocktails are really helpful in the beginning phases of quitting drinking.
I tell you what, an ice-cold NA Busch Light after a hike in the summertime was amazing.
Yeah, like, for me, when we go, like, camping and stuff,
yeah.
and, like, sitting around that fire with everybody after, like, the DMG festivals in 2020, we were lucky that they would have drive-in shows.
It was so much fun.
It was really nice, safe social distancing, the ability to be able to socialize safely with people. And camping and being able to have, like, that cold NA beer, if it weren't for that, I wouldn't have been able to, you know, probably stick to it as much. But there's, I just always tell people, like, replacement is such an important thing.
Like a
bridge.
You
can still have the drink.
Yeah.
You can still go out and drink. Just change the drink in your hand.
Right.
And you can still feel like you're part of the socializing, but you're going to realize very, very quickly, it'll be like, seeing the people around you and how they're behaving when you're sober, and you quickly start to be like, oh, like, it's hard. It's like a mirror to you of your choices. It's hard to look at people around you drinking, and feeling shame about your own behavior, because it brings up triggers.
Yeah.
And it's just, there's a lot to it. And,
I also want to say, not to put shame too much on anybody that drinks. Like, do what you want. We're not trying to shit on people that drink necessarily. Because from my perspective, for example, out at Driftless events, we want you to come party and have a good time. I don't want you to feel bad for wanting to come party and have a good time. I actually get a stupid amount of joy watching people have a good time. That's why I do what I do at Driftless when I'm out there. I used to be riding the rail to every single band at music festivals. Now I'm like backstage, or I'm sitting at Scott's bus.
Shout out to Scott's bus.
Right? But I love seeing people have a good time. That's important to me. I want everybody to enjoy their lives and have a really good time. I just want you to be aware of what you need to have that good time.
Right. Awareness is huge when it comes to it.
That's the first step.
That is the most important thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, you know, for me, alcohol is a hard no. I'm very strong about that. I do have a hard time still accepting that other people are allowed to make their own choices sometimes. That's something that I work very hard on. Sometimes I fall short and fail at that. But I do think that having that awareness and realizing and taking a step back and, like, examining your relationship with alcohol is such an important thing, especially if you're going to continue to keep drinking.
Right.
Just take a step back and just be like, is this really, like, serving me? And if it is, if I'm not having a problem, because everybody doesn't have a quote-unquote problem.
Right.
If you're able to handle it and still be able to safely conduct yourself in society and through life while still enjoying that drink, great for you. But
still, we live in Wisconsin and it's toxic.
Right, it is.
To be blunt.
It is. It's not something that, you know, say you're in California, shout out to our San Francisco listener, whoever you were.
We love you.
If you're, you know, out in other parts of the world and other parts of the country, everybody is like, it's not like that here.
Right.
This is not like the drinking culture that is here in Wisconsin. Which is sad. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So let's talk about a funny story real quick, because when you were telling your story, you mentioned you haven't had a drink on purpose.
Right.
So we're going to talk about when we were in Mexico last year for the Phish concerts on the beach. It was amazing. We were at a Moon Palace all-inclusive resort. So, like, you get into your hotel room and there is a literal cabinet that you just pull out of a drawer and it's liquor bottles. just as much as you want at any moment while you're in your room. The staff offers to lock it for you. Right. We didn't because we're like, no, we're good.
We're good. Yeah, we're not worried about it.
However, there was a restaurant that we frequented, the buffet, and our favorite server, Gregorio, sure. Remember?
Hey, Gregorio.
Hi, Gregorio.
You don't know, but you were the best ever. I hope he's still there.
He was so sweet. So we often would order a coffee at the end of our meal because, you know, instead of having a pick-me-up of alcohol, we'd have a pick-me-up of espresso.
Coffee addicts. Yeah. Now. We just replaced it with coffee.
Right. So we asked for coffees at the end of our meal, and he's like, I'm going to bring you my special coffee. We're like, okay, cool. And he brings it over. All four of us, me, Alex, Karin, and Dan, take a sip, and we're like, oh my God, that is so delicious, Gregorio.
It's ever had
delicious.
In life. What is this?
It?
It's magical.
And he said, Kahlua.
And we all just like immediately, except for Dan. Dan is
soul crushing. Yeah, we all pushed our cups towards Dan, like, here you go.
I mean, it was just, and there was a moment where we all, you know, we did kind of panic for a second.
Just
we
a
were
second.
Like, oh, shit.
Like, there goes 6 years of sobriety.
Right, there goes, like, all of this work. And just, like, you know, a little bit of guilt comes into that. But at the end of the day, it's like, it was a total accident.
Yeah.
None of us, like, you know, flew off the wagon and decided to snort our coffee right then and there. So
it was a funny moment that we got to share.
It was good. It was just kind of, like, funny. Because of all places, you know, if somebody were to, like, be like, oh, if we're going to have a little bit of fun, it's going to be at a fish show in Mexico.
Right.
But, like, we didn't. We were really good, and we stayed strong, and I'm very proud of all of us, because this is a place where you walk in, and as you're walking into the venue, on either side of you, like in Beauty and the Beast, when they're, like, doing Be Our Guest, there's just, like, trays and trays of margaritas and beer lined up for the taking, and obviously, all-inclusive resorts are very heavy on the drink the alcohol. Here it is. It's
right.
Everywhere you look. But also, just as much as there's alcohol everywhere, there's cake. And there's coffee cafes.
And the cutest little desserts.
There's just food everywhere. And there's, like, taco stands out in the venue and churros. And
fries on the beach.
French fries on the beach was the best day of my life. The only thing that could have made it better is if a dragon swooped down and picked me up and carried me over the venue. And it picked up Trey.
Damn,
and he
dragons.
Just played a song for me on the back of this dragon.
Karin wishes she was Tila.
I am I not? So yeah, there's that. So but that was a really anyway,
it was a great trip.
A couple of things we want to talk about for anybody who might be sober curious.
What you got?
So, you know, I've got a couple books that I would recommend to anybody that is really looking. One book is more geared towards women. It's called How to Quit Like a Woman by Holly Whitaker. That book is really powerful. It's more geared towards, like, the high-achieving woman, the woman who's out in society working hard, having those glasses of wine, and how to really navigate that kind of world and removing alcohol. She had at one point created a sobriety program called the Tempest Sobriety School that actually I loosely followed it. So it was like you get sent an email every day with just, like, different topics, and it was kind of like a step-by-step program, not like AA, but it's in its own way, which I followed loosely. Once I made the decision, I was done. It was for me, it clicked. And
it's like a switch.
It is. It really is a switch in your brain.
You know, it was the same switch for me, real quick, when I quit smoking cigarettes, too. So I still smoked cigarettes after I quit drinking.
Mm-hmm.
I had my last cigarette the day before I took the pregnancy test.
Ooh.
I knew it was going to be positive. I remember driving down Northport, going over to the north side for some reason. And I enjoyed the shit out of that last cigarette, knowing it was going to be my last one. But because I knew what was coming next with my family, there was no other option. I didn't want to smoke more. I still, even 6 weeks after having him, I was in a wedding. Shout out to my bestie, Ashley, in Florida. Love you. In her wedding party, I remember we were taking pictures outside the venue, and I held her cigarette for her. And I looked at it, and I was like, nope, I'm good. I'm just going to hold this for her. I don't care that my fingers will smell. it doesn't matter to me, but I'm not gonna smoke this cigarette. And that was probably the last time that I even held one. Mm-hmm. So it's just kind of like, it's a mental space that you need to be in. You need to tell yourself, your brain tells you that you're ready for it.
Right.
And then you can build the foundation to support that choice moving forward.
Right. And on that note, the second book I want to recommend is This Naked Mind. That book is really amazing, and it gets into more of the physiological aspects of
science
of drinking and what it does to your body and how it affects you and just all of that kind of stuff. And that was really like woof for me. Some of that stuff to realize like exactly what damage it does to our body.
Yeah, it's kind of poison.
Yeah, it's totally poison. It's like drinking ethanol. But I will leave the book up to get into those details. So I definitely recommend those two books if you're looking. Another piece of advice I have for people is to start following sober pages. There are tons and tons and tons of them on Instagram and Facebook and social media. And the more you expose yourself to those pages and the more that pops up every single day as a reminder, mm-hmm. The more helpful it is for it to stay in your brain and stay at the forefront so that you can kind of stick to that.
Helps you normalize it.
Absolutely.
You change your environment, you can change your behaviors.
Yeah, you sure? Somebody should write that down, put it on a pillow, cross stitch it.
It's okay, I recorded it in a podcast.
There we go. There you have it. Any other advice for our sober, curious pals out there?
Yeah, one thing that Alex and I struggled with when we quit was the extreme sugar cravings, because alcohol is sugar. So we both gained a lot of weight. Granted, I was pregnant during my first year of sobriety, so it doesn't exactly count. But we've had to make some really, really big life changes to counteract the weight gain that you naturally get from. People think you lose a bunch of weight when you quit drinking, and you do. You lose the puffiness, you lose the water weight, but then you start eating,
right. And
it comes right back. So it kind of goes hand in hand with just healthy living in general.
Right.
Drink so much water. Like, you can drink a gallon of water a day.
Right.
And you probably should.
Right.
That's a really good way to
move your body.
Yeah.
Get out. Find an activity. I mean, you don't have to do all of this right away.
No. Baby steps. Baby steps are okay.
Quitting is enough. It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
Don't quit everything all at once. You know, I think there is a natural point after you quit that we all of a sudden, like, do start gearing towards, like, going to the gym. Or for me, it was hiking. It was being outside and getting back in nature because there's something to be said, and I don't know if this is just something I experienced or if this is something universal with quitting, but I noticed that I kind of reverted back into who I was before I quit drinking and finding the activities that I loved.
Yeah.
I was a feral woodland child where I was running around in the woods making forts and being outside. So I naturally just gravitated back towards being outside and surrounded in nature when I quit, and that was, like, very healing for me.
Yeah. And she lost a ton of weight from that summer that she went hiking, like, every single freaking day.
In the winter.
Yeah, it was awesome.
It was amazing. And what I wouldn't do to get back there now, but I'm 41 now and all of that. So it's harder to...
It's okay.
That's a whole other thing for another day.
Yeah. So sobriety. It's difficult. It's rewarding. It's not for everybody, but it should be on some level. But yeah. Thanks for listening to our stories. We wanted to kind of get those out of the way so that we didn't have to hammer it in too much. And we can move on to other topics.
Like being so grateful for all of the people that have listened so far.
Thank you.
It's been really amazing to see where people are listening from.
Yeah.
I'm an analytical nerd. So we have our host site that I'm constantly checking, like, where people are listening from. What platforms they're listening to us on, and it's been really cool to just see, like, there's somebody out in San Francisco, there's people in Virginia, and just, you know, it's just really, really, the real Virginia.
I was gonna say, like, there's people listening from your hoo-ha?
No, it's my brother, actually.
Oh,
so.
Got it. Awkward.
So yeah, just, like, you know, shout out to everyone who's tuned in.
I wanted to shout out to my Menominee crew. What's up, Menominee? Thank you for liking and following. It's really cool to see people from my childhood tuning in. That was super fun.
And, like, speaking of liking and tuning in.
Do it.
Really, really important. If you enjoy what we're doing here, to kind of help us spread awareness and share and like and subscribe and follow our socials. That's kind of how we keep being able to do this. So that's really important, and we really, really, really appreciate it. And
yeah,
we love interaction on the social media. We want to hear what you think we should be doing and talking about. We know that you all want to come on here and be guests. Obviously,
obviously.
You want to come and hang out with us.
And we want you to.
We do. We do want you to. But we are... No, we're not quite there yet. We're not really ready for having a guest added into this. We will get there, though. We just got to
try to
figure this all out as we go. But we will be having some really exciting guests talking about various topics and sharing their hopes and dreams along the way.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just, again, thank you so much for joining in on the fun with us and for giving us a listen and a chance.
Yeah. This is already a very fun learning experience, and we are so grateful to have this platform for which to bother you all. We are not life coaches, but we can be if you listen to our advice, which you probably should.
And just one more time, thank you so much for listening. Again, don't forget to share, like, follow, and subscribe. We thrive on your attention. We literally need it to survive.
Pay attention to me.
We are hashtag Narcissisters.
Yes. I'm trademarking that before we trademark the podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, share with us what you think we should talk about next time. Comment your favorite moments. Remind us again of how hilarious you think we are. And join us next time when we ask, what would you do
if your son was at home crying alone on the bedroom floor because he's hungry? Then he'll be waiting to feed him.
Okay. No, really. What would you do if you got a round trip plane ticket to anywhere in the world, and why is it Rockford, Illinois? Nothing against you, Rockford folk.
Oh boy, that's going to be a really fun topic.
That's going to be a wrap for us today. So thanks for bearing through episode number 2.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Bye.
Love you. Bye.